claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Oh, fuck. I'm not on the air.
I can hear you now.
Mitchell, I can't believe. What a mistake on my part. Okay, here we are. This is your host, Jim Fetzer, on the Raw Deal. And Mitchell, can you hear me okay, I presume, okay? Let me report some major developments before I bring in my special guest today. Donald Trump thinks this September 18th rally in support of the riot suspects is a setup designed to make him look bad. I have no doubt that he's got it exactly right. So we got a right-wing rally in support of Capitol riot suspects being planned for tomorrow. Trump thinks it's about making him look bad regardless of the outcome. There have been concerns that the rally, planned to be outside the U.S. Capitol, could turn violent. Well, I think it is a setup. It is a setup. I mean, look how January 6th, the original, was a setup. We have James, a brother of John, declaring how his brother led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters. We know the Capitol Police were involved. We know the FBI was involved. We know they had warnings in advance. We know there were requests for additional support there that were not granted. We know Nancy Pelosi was running the shop, that the whole idea was to create a situation where it would appear as though Trump supporters had gone off the rails and were invading the Capitol, but it was all nonsense. Trump was speaking at the Ellipse, was about a mile and a half away. Trump supporters, since he didn't finish speaking until 1:11, the Trump supporters were not even there when all this was taking place. I have a We have a 21-minute video at the Capitol showing the Capitol Police letting them in. We see there are managers and directors in the crowd telling people where to go and what to do. And, it was all a sham. Even the shooting of Ashley Babbitt appears to have been staged. Because you'll notice in that video, go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer, scroll down to 17 April. You'll see there's no flinching. There's no flinching. No one flinches when the shot is fired right in front of them, which would be a typical reaction had it been real. In other words, had they not known that it was about to occur. I therefore also infer that he was using firing a blank. She was laid down on the ground, no blood. Then we see what appears to be a blood packet. And now we have General Milley claiming that it was the 6th of January that led him to conclude that Donald Trump was off the rail and take the absurd measures he was taking. I find this shocking beyond belief, where Milley has committed treason and where Democrats are seeking to reach out in his support. Meanwhile, the event has raised fears of a repeat of the violence of January 6th, with intelligence officials claiming right-wing groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers were expected to attend. Well, I think that Trump's got it right. It turns out he's not the only one who's going to keep his distance, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I admire, and Madison Cawthorn, who were originally scheduled to speak, have canceled. Very good. Don't feed it. The Saturday rally was organized by Matt Brainerd, a former Trump campaign data official, being held in support of those who've been jailed or faced other punishments. Of course, what's going on there is outrageous. Many of these people are even put into solitary confinement. Meanwhile, we have a report. Signs point to Milley's exit. Baseball fans know the score. When the general manager says he's behind the manager 100%, that means the manager has 2 weeks left. Joe Biden just said, I have great confidence in General Milley. Look for Milley to soon decide to spend more time with his family. Woodward has a new book. It's entitled Peril, latest in a series explaining the deep state's version of reality. He played up his interview with General Milley, who had called General Lee of Red China when Trump was president, promised to give Lee a heads up if any military action were to be taken by Donald Trump. Instead of showing how dangerous Trump was, however, it showed how dangerous to the nation is Milley. His boss, the Secretary of Defense, didn't authorize the call, which occurred 2 days. Actually, I believe it was on January 8th rather than January 6th, but it may have been on January 6th. On January 8th, Milley got together all the highest ranking in the chain of command at the Pentagon and told him that if they got a command from Donald Trump, that they should check with him first, that nothing should happen without going through him, even though Milley is not in the chain of command. Milley's role is solely restricted to being an advisor, the senior military advisor to the president. He does not have any command or control authority. Within 24 hours, the hero of the Battle of Mar-a-Lago has become a bad baggage for Biden. A peril in peril is not President Trump, but Milley, who has confirmed the story. His excuse was as weak as a baby's arms. It was so bad, he was not man enough to deliver the message himself. He had his butler, that is to say, Colonel Butler, tell reporters. His calls with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with the duties and responsibilities conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability, meaning bullshit. He worked behind the commander-in-chief's back. Here it's being called mutiny. I say treason. This is completely outrageous. The butler has confirmed that the 10 subordinates we have a White House official saying 10 subordinates are willing to testify against him, which is rather remarkable coming from the White House. When the Joint Chiefs goes before Congress on September 28th, he may face some of the most hostile questioning of any modern four-star general, but will he still be around? It's not just the surrender of Afghanistan bothering them, it's a sedition too. He was a general leak of the Trump era. Axios have said Republicans were already irate with Milley for playing a starring role in a string of recent Trump books. Even some of his friends were cringing over his extensive and high-profile scenes in these book perceptions. He's participating on deep background with multiple authors. Christopher Miller, who was the Secretary of Defense when Milley made his promise to General Lee, told Fox News he had not authorized the communication. Miller said, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is the highest-ranking military officer whose sole role is providing military-specific advice to the president, and by law, he is prohibited from exercising executive authority to command forces. The chain of command runs from the president to the Secretary of Defense, not through the chairman. This is all very serious stuff, and I think it's going to have a lot of calamitous consequences. General managers fire baseball managers in mid-season because nothing else can be done. Politics is the same. George McGovern said of his VP running mate, Thomas Eagleton, I'm behind him 1,000%. 2 days later, he was gone. When Biden said, I have great confidence in General Milley, the countdown to his departure began. Here are some of the comments on this story. Instead of allowing thoroughly modern Milley to resign, he should be court-martialed, busted down to buck private, and sentenced to 20 years in Leavenworth. Now, as a former Marine Corps officer, I recommend that is the right course of action. Here's another. I would rather ask Milley to describe in his own words how the situation has improved before and after the Biden administration replaced Trump's. Another, if Milley is scheduled to appear before Congress on the 28th, better turn that arrangement into a subpoena. No weaseling out by resigning. Another, Bucky is absolutely correct when he talked about a court martial. It's the least we can do. No other punishment is adequate. Accountability needs to start now. Here's a lengthy spot on. Milley is subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and the military needs to have a tribunal. At the very least, this article seems to be at play. 888, Article 88, contempt toward officials. Any commissioned officer who uses contemptuous words against the president, the vice president, Congress, the Secretary of Defense, the secretary of a military department, the secretary of Homeland Security, or the governor or legislature of any state, commonwealth, or possession in which he is on duty or present shall be punished as a court-martial may direct. I also invite everyone to read the text of 894, Article 94, Mutiny or Sedition, Section A, Paragraph 1 is difficult to read and not see a relevant crime before the first comma. Any person subject to UCMJ with intent to usurp or override lawful military authority, which of course is precisely what Milley was doing. Meanwhile, we have Los Angeles County to mandate COVID-19 vaccine passports. Many have observed the idea of these passports is the end of our freedom and security. We're going to be tracked everywhere. They're going to require every possible fact about us to be known by way of our passport. The order will also require vaccine proof for negative COVID tests for large outdoor events, including Los Angeles Rams, Chargers, Dodger games, said to Public Health Director Dr. Barbara Ferrer, where these public health officials seem to know less about what's going on than anyone else in the world, for God's sake. If you just went to my blog, bet you'd channel Jim Fetzer and start reading some of the reports of doctors, you'd understand how the masks are harmful and the shots are deadly. So the idea of moving forward with a vaccine passport is a form of obscenity. It's like showing a death certificate before you've been put 6 feet under. This is a reasonable pass forward that will position us to better able to break the cycle of surges, she told the Board of Supervisors. This modified health officer order aligns with the continued need to reduce risk of transmission and increase vaccination coverage. Los Angeles officials, she said, now believe vaccine passport systems are a very important strategy for quickly raising vaccine coverage across our country and ending the pandemic. Except it's not ending the pandemic. We have a host of reports about how the vaccines, those who are vaccinated, are turning out to be 80% of those who are already hospitalized, in a whole series of other grotesque events going on here that are not being reflected by the health authorities in any of the cities or states that are under Democratic control. Here's one that's rather uplifting. There's a new, let me add this. Biden hit with first state lawsuit over the vaccine mandates. Arizona, bless it, has sued the Biden administration Tuesday, challenging recent rules forcing both private sector and federal employees to receive COVID-19 vaccines. The state argued the vaccine requirements are unconstitutional because the federal government hasn't announced similar requirements for migrants crossing the southern border. A Republican Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who seems to be a good guy, said the Biden administration policies reflected an unmistakable favoritism in favor of illegal immigrants over American citizens. The federal government cannot force people to get the COVID vaccine. The Biden administration is once again flouting our laws and precedents to push their radical agenda. There can be no serious or scientific discussion about containing the spread of COVID-19 that doesn't begin at our southern border. Here, of course, he's taking for granted the pandemic is real, about which we have excellent reasons to doubt, including a report from Johns Hopkins that slipped through the cracks, showing that in 2018, 19, and 20, there was no change in death rates in any category, which meant that the pandemic, such as it may be, isn't bringing about any change in deaths, which is perfectly consistent with all the research I've done in the past, beginning way back in May of 2020, when I did my first report on the coronavirus, and where Ole Domegaard suggested to me, looking at the mortality tables for the European nations, what was supposed to be running rampant. And you can see in those mortality tables, there was no change in death rates. And of course, we know in addition that there's been no increase in the sale of oxygen tank or IV drips, which would be of necessity if it were true what we're being told, that the hospital are just flooded with his COVID patients. Moreover, as I've already observed, the patients they are being sent seem to be vaccinated, not unvaccinated. We had this stunning situation where a Detroit TV station asked for stories about people who had refused the vax and had then died. Instead, they got 182,000 responses about individuals who not only had not refused the vax, but had actually taken the vax and had died or been seriously damaged. 182,000. We have this absurd report here in the Wisconsin State Journal claiming that we're having this pandemic of vaccinated people. So I wrote to the editor, the executive editor, the author of the article, what makes Madison different than Detroit? Obviously, they're lying their face off. Further, coming from Arizona's attorney general, under our constitution, the president is not a king who can exercise this sort of unbridled power unilaterally. And even George III wouldn't have dreamed that he could enact such sweeping policies by royal decree alone. I think that's fantastic and very appropriate. Meanwhile, COVID politics takes a dark turn Biden administration takes control of monoclonal antibody drugs to block treatments in red states and ration equitable treatment. This is truly outrageous. The change in Health and Human Service approach followed Republican Governor Ron DeSantis promoting the use of this monoclonal antibody drug, which I believe, in fact, I was given when I was briefly hospitalized several weeks ago. And the idea that they're killing it, they're going to control it, is a really, really bad idea. As soon as HHS noticed the red state governors were working on an effective treatment alternative to the vaccine approach, HHS appears to have moved to block it, thereby restricting the treatment pathway in order to enhance or reinforce a vaccine approach as the only one available. It took a week for the new HHS restrictions to impact the pre-existing orders. However, now Alabama is the first state to draw attention to the problem Joe Biden's administration is creating by rationing this treatment and making determination which state should be allowed the equitable use of the available supply, a fancy term for rationing the life-saving treatment based on alignment with political ideology of the government in control. In other words, the Democrats are going to restrict access to this life-saving treatment if you assume the COVID actually were live, but it saves your life because you're not taking the vax. You're doing this treatment as an alternative to punish the red states. This is completely outrageous, indefensible. The approach of the federal government moving to control this treatment does not come in a vacuum. When you consider the U.S. federal government's approach to dismiss the effective use of ivermectin or of HCQ, for example, as COVID treatments, and then consider the vaccine-only approach as being applied with extreme pressure from within the U.S. healthcare industry, which includes threats against doctors who do not comply, a very clear picture is emerging. All treatment approaches are being blocked in order to force people to take the mRNA gene therapy. Now, it is one thing to demand people take mRNA gene therapy. It's another entirely to block treatment options in order to force vaccination as the only method of survival from infection. Against this backdrop, those fences being installed around Washington, D.C. take on a different perspective. Here we have the situation in an overview. The Joe Biden FDA is blocking ivermectin. The Joe Biden regulatory agency, AMA, is threatening doctors with their licenses if they speak against vaccination. The Joe Biden administration is threatening the economic security of the U.S. workforce who are not comfortable taking the vaccine. The Joe Biden HHS is taking control of monoclonal antibody treatment supplies. The Biden administration is now determining the equity of medical treatment. The Biden administration is putting walls around the Capitol. There appears to be a very dark agenda unfolding before our eyes. These are not conspiracy theory data points. These are facts. Let me add, when you look at the enormity of the theft of the election and the comprehensive way in which the media, all medical authorities, the WHO, the CDC, the NIH, and all that are on exactly the same propagandistic track, which is completely contrary to the science, notwithstanding what they are declaring, contradicts the science, where Sherry Tenpenny has described these vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. When you look at the open borders, when you see the flood of Afghan refugees, when you see everything else, the homelessness, criminals being dumped out in the street, this is a coordinated plot to destroy America. And there's only one force in the world powerful enough to be exercising this. That is the Rothschild banking industry. But Joe Biden isn't a puppet of Barack Obama. Joe Biden is a puppet of the Rothschilds. And when we come back, I'll introduce my special guest, Rolf Lindgren, for us today. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we got a host of political developments here with the withdrawal from Afghanistan having been a complete fiasco, with Milley having gone completely off the rails, with a border surge causing concern for every American citizen. Joe Biden's poll ratings have been tanking, and his disapproval rating now is considerably higher than his positive. It looks to me like he's destined for the trash heap of history where he deservedly belongs, since he never was entitled to occupy this office. Out in California, of course, the Democrats continue their theft of elections, running away with some 66 voting against recall, and only like 33 in favor, when I would venture to guess the actual outcome was the opposite. Some 70% of those who went to the polls to cast their vote were told they had already voted because the Secretary of State had invented an ingenious new way to print your own ballot at home using any software, any browser, any whatever word processor you want. So it made it virtually impossible to audit. The Democrats are, you know, on a run here of thefts of election, but I think the public is noticing, and this situation in California was so blatant and transparent, I think people are going to realize, my God, if they could do that in California for Gavin Newsom, what would they have done for Joe Biden? Or Mike Lindell had a three-day spectacular marathon of proof about election theft, where Sidney Powell and Ellen Wood have both given ample evidence for which they have been sued in an attempt to punish them for speaking out. In fact, it appears with regard to the Biden administration that if you challenge or express any doubts about the election of 2020, if you are skeptical about the claim that Trump supporters committed an insurrection at the Capitol, or if you think there are serious questions about the feasibility of propriety vaccines, then you're on the Biden domestic enemy list. We've never seen anything like this. Absolute totalitarian authoritarianism coming out of this administration. My dear friend and political analyst, Rolf Lindgren, is here to add his thoughts to all of the above and much, much more. Rolf, welcome back to The Raw Deal. Mitchell.
Oh, there it is. Hey, I'm sorry.
No, what Jim, happened, Mitchell?
My microphone got switched again. Skype.
Have we got Rolf?
Yeah, I see Rolf is on the line, but I haven't been able to hear him. I heard him briefly.
Wow. That's not good.
He said something when you came on, and then yeah,
I thought I heard him saying something. I gave you a phone. You called his number, right?
Yeah, I have his number. I have him on here. If he's listening, I'm going to remove him from the call, and then I'll add him again.
Okay. Go for it. So much is going on here. I thought it'd be great to have Rolf back again. He, of course, has a degree of mathematics from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a smart guy. He's very active in now Republican, formerly libertarian politics. He's a expert on many aspects of political history, including the founding fathers, perhaps especially James Madison. I'm waiting, Jim, of course, for the lunatics here in...
There he is, Jim.
I'm waiting for the lunatics here in Dayton County to declare they want to rename the capital of the state in honor of some figure they adore, maybe George Floyd. Rolf, I'm so glad to have you here with us today.
I'm here in Middleton, Wisconsin, right next to Floydville, formerly known as Madison, Wisconsin.
That's right. Isn't it unbelievable? I don't know how much you heard about the trouble, you know, anyone is in if they question the 2020 election or deny that it was a Trump insurrection at the Capitol or challenge the use of these vaccines, but it appear any of those will put you on the domestic enemy list and maybe a candidate for a COVID camp. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of big news out there. I heard your rundown of the news, but the biggest story right now is the charges that were just filed by Special Prosecutor John Durham. The Durham probe, we haven't heard a lot about it. A lot of people think nothing's going to happen. Well, something just happened. One of the top lawyers for Hillary Clinton was just busted for lying to the FBI, but he wasn't just lying to the FBI. He was delivering disinformation to the FBI. That's what he was actually doing. And I want to run down what happened, because sometimes for some people this may be kind of complicated.
even for me, it's a little complicated.
Go for it.
So Mark Sussman is a top lawyer for Hillary Clinton, a personal acquaintance of Hillary Clinton, and he works for Perkins Coie Law Firm, which is the notorious law firm that does the dirty work for the Clintons. Okay. In September of 2016, so think about when that is. That's right before the presidential election. This is before Trump was elected. Mark Sussman delivered a thumb drive of fake disinformation to James Baker. James Baker is the son of the famous James Baker, who was the Secretary of State many years ago. This is the son of James Baker. He was the chief legal counsel for the FBI, so a very high-ranking official. That means he's the chief legal advisor to James Comey at the time at the FBI. So this is a very high-level official. And he's, by the way, he's been singing like a canary, James Baker. Okay, so Mark Sussman delivers this thumb drive to James Baker. Now, James Baker is an attorney. He's not supposed to be handling evidence. That's the first problem with this. Because therefore, if this evidence was used, he would be part of the chain of custody. Okay, so that's a problem right there. So Mark Sussman, why did he go to James Baker? Supposedly they knew each other in law school. Okay, so James Baker receives this thumb drive. Then he gives it to Bruce Orr. Bruce Orr has also been singing like a canary. Bruce Orr was the number four official at the Justice Department. And him and his wife, Nellie Orr, who worked at GPS Fusion, have been singing like a canary. Bruce Orr then takes this thumb drive, gives it to an FBI agent named Joseph Pientka, and I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation, and he gives it to Peter Stroke, who's the head of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. We've all heard of Stroke and Page. So the reason why this stuff is so hard to arrest these people is there's so many different people involved. It's hard to keep track of who's who. It's, you know, even if you prove that one guy gave something to someone else, you don't know where he got it from. He just says, well, I just got it from this guy. You know, so this is a very complicated process. That's why they just simply charge him with lying to the FBI, for now at least, because that's a simpler way to get the ball rolling. Okay, now he was just charged now because the 5-year statute of limitations expires in 2 days. Because for many cases, there's a 5-year statute of limitations. However, in conspiracy cases, you can extend the statute of limitations far beyond 5 years if there's been an overt act to further the conspiracy within 5 years. Right now, they're not using any of the conspiracy charges because they're very complicated, and especially when you're trying to arrest people in the government. It's very complicated. However, Mark Sussman has been charged. Now, what is Mark Sussman going to do? Obviously, Mark Sussman has not been singing like a canary. This guy could rat out Hillary Clinton in a heartbeat if he wanted to. The best time to rat people out is before you've been charged, because then the prosecutors can give you zero prison time. Now, once you're charged, they can say, like, oh, okay, we'll give you, instead of giving you 5 years, we'll give you 4 years or something. The other thing they could do is they could add superseding indictments against him if they're trying to get him to talk. Some people might claim, well, this guy's a sacrificial lamb. Well, this guy's not a sacrificial lamb. For one thing, he can tell on the people who he's working with if he wants to. So if he doesn't want to do that, that's his problem. But he received this disinformation, this thumb drive. Which, by the way, what was that disinformation? It was fake information that there was supposedly a communication between a Russian bank called the Alpha Bank and the Trump Tower. So supposedly Trump was communicating with the Russians through some secret communications. I think what actually happened was there was a fax machine that had been left on for a while, and then someone turned it off later because it was an accident. So whatever it wasn't any secret communications between Trump and Putin, that's for sure. It was okay. It's like if you left your, it'd be like if you're on the phone with someone and you left your phone off the hook after the phone call was over. That's all it was. So this fake information, one of the things you're going to wonder is, well, where did this fake information come from? Okay, where did it come from? Did it come from Hillary Clinton? Did it come from the FBI? See, what may have actually happened is the FBI may have had people getting the fake information to Sussman, and then they could bring the information back to the FBI in a loop. You see how that works? And by the way, the FBI then was, when they get this fake information, then they assign it to investigators who aren't part of the plot, and they try to investigate it, and then they don't find anything, and then it's eventually dropped. But in the meantime, they're leaking information about the investigation to the New York Times or the Washington Post, typically, or sometimes CNN. Those are the three biggest ones. So that's the whole point of this disinformation thing, is to continually have stories in the news that Trump's being investigated for ties to the Russians. So it's very complicated. And another significant thing that's found in the indictment is that Mark Sussman is a source to the New York Times. So Mark Sussman was one of the people, when you read in the New York Times, they have a secret source. One of those sources is Mark Sussman. And it's probably not the only time he's ever been a source for the New York Times. There's probably lots of other times where he's done it. He's probably a professional leaker to the New York Times. But the difference is that he's not leaking information that's in the public interest. He's leaking specific disinformation, because they were trying to stop Trump from being elected. And remember, you have to remember that the conspiracy to get Trump in 2016 was far greater than the conspiracy in the second election. Because in the first election, the powers of the government were fully marshaled to get Trump. Whereas in the second election, Trump was in control of a lot of the government. So they couldn't do this kind of stuff in the second election. So instead, they had the virus, they manufactured a virus in the Wuhan lab in China, which was out of reach of Trump's supervision. So this is just in a nutshell, this is how what happened. So now we're getting more and more information about what happened. We're also moving higher up to the source of the information. We're moving within one person of Hillary Clinton. Okay, so Hillary Clinton is implicated in this case, and she'll never be able to get rid of this. This is something that goes down in the history books. So someone like her, who thinks she's really important, and frankly, this is worse than in many ways than jail time, is these powerful people. If you know, you spent your whole life doing stuff, and maybe she did some good things here or there somewhere. I don't know what it is exactly, but the reality is that she's going to go down in history kind of like Nixon, where it's a bad historical verdict. Now, how did they catch Sussman? You might wonder, well, how did they catch this guy? I'm going to tell you right now, never in a million years did Mark Sussman ever think he was going to get busted for this. His name's already been scrubbed off of the Perkins Coie website, by the way. So even though his lawyers are saying, oh, he didn't do anything, the reality is that he's already been scrubbed off their website. Okay, here's how they caught him. He told James Baker that he just brought this information in. Remember, James Baker's the chief attorney for the FBI. He said, oh, I'm just doing this as a good citizen. I'm a good citizen. I care about our country, so I'm going to bring you this disinformation about Trump and the Russians. Okay, of course, we know that wasn't true. But then when the FBI, of course, interviewed James Baker, and he spilled the beans. Then they interviewed Mark Sussman, and he lied to the FBI. He said that to the FBI. He said, "I'm not working for Hillary Clinton." That's what he said, under oath. Okay, guess what? The billing records show that he was billing all these meetings to Hillary Clinton's campaign. So he's caught red-handed, that's how we know John Durham is actually doing something. Well, he must have gotten a hold of the billing records of Perkins Coie Law Firm. That's a pretty big deal. So, and then so this is just the tip of the iceberg of what Durham knows. Now, I don't know how many charges Durham's going to be able to bring. You know, whether he's going to bring some vast conspiracy case, probably not. Unfortunately, not with Merrick Garland in there, the Attorney General. Merrick Garland, by the way, did allow this charge to proceed. Okay, well, does that mean he's a great guy, Merrick Garland? Oh, it doesn't really mean that. It just means he's not completely corrupt. And he also knows that his ass is on the line because he knows that all this information will eventually be made public anyway, and he doesn't want his ass out there as a bad guy. So he's just going to go along with this case. So how far was this going to go? Well, one thing that could happen is that there may be some other people charged, and then when it's all done, John Durham writes a report of what happened. And some people say, "Oh, big deal, report." Okay. Well, first of all, the report is a big deal. And how do we know this? Well, I'll give you an example. Andrew Cuomo was just forced out of the governorship of New York based on a report. He's never been charged. He's probably never going to be charged. So Andrew Cuomo lost the governorship. He's also no longer a presidential candidate anymore. He used to be considered a top candidate for president, no longer. And he doesn't know if he's going to be charged. Maybe he's got some secret deal. But a report like this is bad news if you're implicated for criminal activity in the report. And trust me, the Durham report is going to be a lot worse than the Cuomo report. The Durham report is a report of a vast conspiracy to get Trump. All the Cuomo report is an a-hole governor hitting on women, harassing women, and possibly sexually assaulting women. That's what his report is. It's pretty simple stuff compared to the Durham report that's going to come out. Another reason why the report is important is it's not going to be forgotten, because there's going to be 435 races for the House of Representatives next year, and a lot of these Republican candidates are going to be talking about the corruption in the government, and they're going to come in and do something about it. You're going to have the Senate races, 33 or so Senate races. They're going to be talking about it. And then when Trump runs for president, he's even going to be, even if it doesn't get covered as much with all these Republican candidates running for federal office in 2022, Trump will start talking about it in 2023 when he gears up his presidential campaign. And some of the people who are going to be implicated in the Durham report are working in the Justice Department right now. Some of these criminals are still in there. One of them is Lisa Monaco. She's one of the top people at the Justice Department. She's one of the people who orchestrated this whole conspiracy in the first place, working with Barack Obama. So eventually she's going to be outed. And the more people who get outed, the better chances that Trump wins the election. I'm surprised that they would even put someone like that in there. Now she can get in there and get the records and do damage control, but there's only so much she can cover up because Durham has all these documents, and nobody can get those documents from Durham. So this is a big deal, and Mark Sussman, you know, we don't know what he's going to do. He hasn't talked yet, but a lot of people have talked, like James Baker talked. Maybe Mark Sussman will talk. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he thought he was going to walk on water and wasn't going to be charged by Durham. Maybe he believed all the people saying nothing's going to happen. Durham's never going to do anything. Okay, well, maybe Mark Sussman believed those people. Okay, well, now he realizes that it's not true. And for him, that's a big deal. If he gets charged with a crime like this, his whole career is shot. Okay, it's shot. And some of these other people who are still around, they haven't been charged yet. And some of the people have been pretty damn quiet who we think might be charged, like James Comey. We haven't heard much from him lately, have we? So this is a big deal. It's very complicated. I want to talk about one other thing. It's in the when you read through these indictments, there's things in there that you won't even know about if you don't read it. Did you know that on July 29th, 2016, there was a secret meeting at Perkins Coie Law Firm involving these entities: Mark Sussman, Mark Elias, who's another top attorney for Perkins Coie, Mark Sussman, Mark Elias, GPS Fusion, and Christopher Steele. And they met at Perkins Coie, and then they billed the cost of the meeting to the Clinton campaign. That's in the indictment. We may have forgotten about GPS Fusion. Who is GPS Fusion? That's the group where Christopher Steele worked, where they created the dossier of the fake Russian information about Trump. So what they're doing is they have fake information coming in from more than one source. GPS Fusion not only had Christopher Steele working there, they also had Nellie Orr working there, the wife of Bruce Orr, who's the guy getting the information from James Baker. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Nellie Orr is on the record of meeting with Barack Obama in the White House on April 19th, 2016, right after the guy at the NSA shut off the contractor searches. The contractor searches were cut off at the FBI, which they were using to manipulate intelligence. So then the next day, Nellie Orr went to the White House. Obviously, they're talking, oh, what are we going to do about the contractor searches? What are we going to do? Let's start a new operation. Nellie Orr is meeting with Obama in the White House. These people are all connected. And it's so complicated to keep all the names straight. I can't even remember all the names anymore, because this has been going on for 5.5 years. We've been hearing about this stuff. 5.5 years. And this is an outrage. And Trump knows exactly what's going on. Okay? He knows. He's got all the information. He's got information we don't even have. He's got all the public information. Trump is never going to let this lie. Trump is going to use this information in the 2024 election, and he's not going to be stopped. This is big news.
Rolf, what I really like about what you're reporting is that Durham appears not to have been just for show, but that he's real, and it's starting to pan out. And most certainly, if this comes to the public attention, and it appears already that it will be, it could have a massive impact. If we have legitimate elections, it could make a real difference. But then there are so many other issues. Biden's already in the tank. I don't think the Democrats have a prayer in 2022, much less 2024. We're about to hit the break. I'm so glad to have here today Rolf Lindgren, good friend from Madison, Wisconsin, political analyst, historian of America, especially the founding fathers extraordinaire. And he'll comment on the new name, the new renaming of Madison, Wisconsin, when we return.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest today, Rolf Lindgren. Rolf, I think you're absolutely right that the Sussman indictment implicates Hillary and the campaign and is going to blow the whole Russia hoax apart. We also have Milley being in contact with Nancy Pelosi, where Pelosi is telling Milley that Trump's crazy and he's been crazy for a long time. Where if I had to choose between which is the nut, Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi, it would not be in her favor. I do think the evidence against the Democrats is massive and overwhelming, that virtually every American has to be appalled by what's happened to this country in the few short months since Joe Biden was inaugurated on a pre-recorded screen that wasn't even at the right time of day to have been legitimate. I mean, all this is outrageous. Your thoughts?
Okay. I agree with a lot of that. I was mentioning this meeting, the secret meeting at Perkins Coie on July 29th, 2016, with Mark Sussman, who's just been charged, Mark Elias, another high-level Clinton lawyer for Perkins Coie, Christopher Steele, and GPS Fusion officials being billed to the Clinton campaign. That's on July 29th. Did you know that the Crossfire Hurricane was opened on July 31st? 2 days later. So on July 31st, that's when James Comey opened Crossfire Hurricane, which is the official FBI investigation of the Russian collusion between Trump and the Russians. You see, this was all orchestrated. These people were in a room setting up the fake information that they were going to feed to the FBI. Then they told the FBI, okay, you can start it up now, we're ready. They opened the investigation, and then they immediately feed the fake information. Then the people who are leaking out to the New York Times and the Washington Post, they're all in place, including Mark Sussman, who we know is a source now. Okay. So this is a vast conspiracy. They talked about the vast conspiracy that killed JFK. This is a bigger conspiracy, at least bigger as far as the names that we know. we don't have any kind of, we don't have the detailed information to with the plot to kill. Can we know that Kennedy was killed by the deep state? We know that, but we don't have all these detailed records of all these different meetings between all the different people with that. We do with the Trump conspiracy. And this is going to go down in history, because people who study conspiracies, government conspiracies, this is going to be on the record for thousands of years. It's like the Julius Caesar conspiracy, which is the biggest conspiracy of ancient history. We have a lot of information about that conspiracy because Augustus Caesar was able to take over, and then the records were written down and preserved of what went down to kill Julius Caesar. Now, the records are not anything what we have today, but that was like the gold standard for a conspiracy that's been proven to be true for 2,000 years. Another conspiracy would be the one against Galileo. That's been on the record. That happened 400 years ago, but the records of that conspiracy were never even released until the late 1800s for the most part. Well, now we have this conspiracy. This is a huge conspiracy involving all the different elements of the government, the FBI, the CIA, the State Department, the White House. Then you have the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, you have the media, and then you have private entities like GPS Fusion, the Clinton campaign, and Perkins Coie. So I urge everybody to read as much as you can about this. Now, moving over to General Milley, you know, Trump already said this stuff was all fake news. So, you know, it probably is fake news. I mean, it's, but if the stuff in the book was actually true, it would be high treason by General Milley. And my take on this is just the absurdity of the whole thing. When Trump was president, he had the military industrial complex constantly pressuring him to bomb this place, to bomb that country, to send more troops over here, to send more troops over there. And Trump was constantly, you know, not bombing as much as they wanted, and did some bombing here and there. But he didn't commit extra troops. He certainly canceled lots of bombing raids that were planned by the military brass. So the idea that the military now is afraid that Trump's going to bomb somebody is idiotic. There's no records of Trump being the one who wants to bomb someone and the military says not to bomb something. That's not what was happening when Trump was president. It was the exact opposite. The military industrial. This is the same stuff that goes back to JFK, and presidents who, and heck, it goes back farther than JFK. It goes back to William McKinley, getting all the wars that were orchestrated when he was the president. He wasn't the guy that wanted those wars. People underneath him manipulated the events, and then he didn't do, and he just let it go. He should have done something about it and didn't. And then maybe he did do something because someone killed him. You know, it's kind of funny how that always happens. But Trump, the stuff with General Milley is just another sideshow. It'll help Bob Woodward sell his books. Bob Woodward's books haven't really been very good lately. Have you noticed that? I mean, he actually used to write some good books at one time. He had some good sources. But his books, the quality of his books are going way down. His sources for the Trump presidency are not accurate. They're not even accurate sources. They're just people telling him stuff. People who don't like Trump just tell him stuff that's not even true. I think that he was getting accurate information possibly most of the time, although we may have to go back and look at his books and say, wait a minute now, maybe these books weren't accurate either. You know, maybe I believed some of the stuff in his books in the past, but his books on the Trump presidency are pretty much garbage. They're not only a slightly more reliable than the National Enquirer type tabloid stuff. So maybe it'll help him sell his book. He may get some sales, but his book probably isn't very good. It's probably really not going to be a big seller. It'll sell for a few weeks because of the publicity, but then after that, it'll sit on the you'll see it sitting in used bookshops in a few months, and then there'll be a lot of them there. And trust me, there's a lot of Bob Woodward books sitting in used bookshops. I've seen them. They sit there and collect a lot of dust. People don't buy them they're not really that good. So the General Milley thing, like I said, you know, it'll be out of the news in a little while. Maybe there'll be some investigations into what happened. Apparently there were some conversations with China, but they have lots of conversations with China. So, you know, maybe they'll have a transcript. Remember Trump, Trump's transcript somehow got leaked out to the media. What about this guy's transcripts? Where are they? Now, the big story, of course, is the Afghanistan withdrawal. Trump, of course, when he was president, there was really not a war in Afghanistan for the major part of Trump's presidency, because almost the entire presidency was held. There were peace talks for most of the presidency between the Taliban and the allies for most of his presidency. There hadn't been any Americans killed over there for a year and a half, at least. Very few people were killed during the entire time Trump was president. There was mostly peace talks. So peace talks are great. And if you look at the histories of other countries that have chaos, if you can have peace talks for 4 years, you know, maybe that's a good thing, because you're not having a war, at least. But the withdrawal by Biden, you know, it's kind of perplexing. Is this really just incompetence? Or is there something more to it? Is somebody trying to sabotage him? I mean, why would you leave the civilians there and then bring the military out and then you have the civilians and the civilians are trapped? Why would you even do that? They had all year to get the civilians out. right? Hell, they had more than all year. They had almost 4 years. The peace talks started 4 years ago. You know, I noticed, wasn't a notice put out 4 years ago? Look, there's peace talks right now. And if you're a civilian, you have to be understand that that political conditions could change. You may have to leave the country depending on what's going on. I mean, peace talks have been going on for 4 years. So civilian, why are civilians still there? Why is the military leaving first? And then the other thing is the Bagram Air Force or Air Force Base that could protect the withdrawal. And why was that abandoned and given over to the Taliban? Why not hold that, then get everybody out, and then abandon it? So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why is it? Is it just because Joe Biden is an idiot? Is Joe Biden, you know, just following his advice from his military leaders? You know, I don't know. I don't know the answers to those questions. What I do know is that it's hurt. It's hurt Joe Biden politically. It's also bad news for the people trapped there. Although you have to wonder. Like I said, you have to wonder, the people who are trapped there, you have to wonder why are they there? Why were they there? Why didn't they leave a long time ago? You have to wonder. But that's the whole thing with our foreign policy. It's almost like maybe what they're really trying to do is create the conditions. They know that right now the general public does not want to go back into Afghanistan, period. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, we got to do this. The Taliban did this. And I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do? Go reinvade Afghanistan? Well, blah, 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 you know, okay, well, people know, most people know that the average person does not want us to go back into Afghanistan. So what was really going on? Maybe they're just trying to set the table for a future reentry into Afghanistan, even though they know they can't go in right now. Maybe they'll orchestrate some false flag event in 2 years, and then they'll say we have to go back in. It's hard to know what's the benefits. One of the things Ron Paul and Rand Paul have always said, oh, what are the benefits of us being there? Well, that's one of the main reasons why people don't want us to be there, because there is no benefits. Supposedly there's all these minerals that are there, $1 trillion or $3 trillion of minerals, rare earth metals. Okay. You know, I haven't seen very many news stories about mining of rare earth metals in Afghanistan. I think they're needed for computers. I haven't seen much about it. I don't know much about it. But if that's really why we're there, why isn't Joe Biden telling us, oh, we have to stay there because there's rare earth metals? Okay, I haven't heard anything about that. I do know that between China and Afghanistan, they have the lion's share of the world's rare earth metals. So it's an important mineral. But Trump did a good job on foreign policy. He got rid of ISIS in the Middle East. He got us out of Syria. You know, we're not fighting in Iraq. And what Trump did is he was able to do this without coming across as a weak military leader. In other words, if you contrast him to, say, Jimmy Carter, yeah, he was an anti-war president. But he was also a weak leader. So he made it easy for the next president to come across as a warmonger and get all the votes and then come in and then up and then reignite these wars that was Ronald Reagan. So being anti-war isn't good enough. It's not good enough just to say, oh, he was a good man. He was against the war. That's not good enough. William McKinley was like that too. William McKinley, he wasn't an expansionist, but he had people below him who did it. And then like Teddy Roosevelt, and he just let it go. That's what he did. Of course, things are different back then, because you could argue different things about those cases, but Trump right now, Trump has made it impossible for the next president to argue we need more wars because Trump is a weak leader. You didn't hear that from Joe Biden, and you're not hearing it right now. Nobody, you don't hear anybody right now talking about another war because there's Trump has taken away the reasons for wars. One of them was wars for oil. Well, Trump made us self-sufficient in oil. We don't need to import any oil anymore. Now that could change because apparently our oil surplus has been going down ever since Biden took over, and maybe in a couple of years from now they'll be yelling that we need to get more oil somewhere. The other one is wars for Israel. Okay, that's another reason why we're in these wars. Oh, we got to do it because we got to protect Israel. Okay, well, Israel made all these peace treaties with different countries, either tacit or implicit peace treaties with places like Morocco, Saudi Arabia. They've had one with Egypt, Sudan, Tibet, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. So right now, Israel's not really under attack anymore by Arab countries. There just simply aren't. And that takes away an excuse for the U.S. military to barge over there and say, oh, we got to protect Israel. So right now, if you're looking to start another war in the Middle East or Central Asia, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough right now. And, of course, the way you do it is you have a drumbeat of war propaganda and then you orchestrate a false flag event. Well, orchestrating a false flag event isn't going to be easy because Trump cleared out a lot of the people in the deep state, put his own people in. So if you try to orchestrate something like that now, like a 9/11 style event, then the problem is you might have people on the inside who know what's going on and either screw it up or talk or whatever. So I don't think that a false flag operation is really very feasible right now. I think it takes a while to weed out the people who would do things like that. It's going to take a while to do something like that. I mean, you know, when they got rid of Kennedy, you know, that wasn't an easy thing to do. You know, they had to have a lot of people in place for a long time to pull an operation, because you had to do it without Kennedy finding out about it. You know, that's what you had to do, because if Kennedy had found out about it, he would have taken precautions. So I think Trump's foreign policy is a huge, huge success. And the other thing that's going on is Trump is now looking at running for president again. Well, no one knows if he's going to get elected or not. Some people will claim he's not going to get elected. Some people may claim that. But according to the odds right here that I have, he's got a 25% chance of being elected president. 25%. But that's a predicated on the fact that there's only a 50-50 chance that he runs for president. But that's still a pretty good odds to get if you're getting elected. I would say the odds are a lot higher than 25%. I would say the odds are very good because the polling numbers for Joe Biden stink right now. They're going down, and they're not going to go back up. Okay, Joe Biden started his presidency with lots of soft support. He got lots of soft support votes, people who simply didn't like Trump. And this happens in every presidential election, not just with Trump. It happened probably more with Trump. But people who said, oh, I'm sick of Trump, I would vote for Biden. Well, now they're realizing that Joe Biden is just as bad as Trump or worse than Trump. Even people who aren't Trump supporters are realizing this. So the redeeming factors would be if you're doing policies that are popular. I don't think that Joe Biden's policies are popular. The only policies he has that are popular are things like health care and virus and sometimes the virus response. Because unfortunately, a lot of people depend on the government for their health care. For some reason, we live in a society where you apparently you can't get health care unless the government helps you. You know, why we live in a society like that, it's kind of hard to understand considering how advanced scientifically we are. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. So people who depend on health care from the government are going to probably vote Democrat. And then a lot of people are simply afraid of viruses. There's been movies about killer viruses for 100 years. There's been books and whatever. So a lot of people are afraid of viruses. So when Joe Biden says, I'm going to protect you from the killer virus, we're going to have mask mandates and vaccination mandates and whatever. Unfortunately, a lot of people agree with that stuff. So, but the problem that Joe Biden has is that the fear of the virus may go away is already going away, and it may go away to the point where his virus response is not popular. Most of the polling experts cite the rise in the number of cases of COVID is one of the reasons why Biden's poll numbers have gone down. Okay. So, and I've even seen strategy manuals where they're saying that's the main strategy of Democrats is just to say, we're going to protect you from the virus. That's literally their main strategy for reelection. Okay. Now think about all the other issues that benefit Trump and Republicans in general. One, of course, is the border. The border is not people, and some of these issues overlap. The people are coming in across the border, but are they wearing a mask when they cross the border? Are they vaccinated when they cross the border? And are they social distancing when they cross the border? Probably not. Okay. Then we have the rising crime rate. Now here I am in Dane County, Wisconsin. There was a robbery in Mesa Mani the other day. It's a little town out in the country. Someone robbed the gas station 3 days ago. There was a somewhere else in Wisconsin, they just found a van with four people shot to death. Okay, and these are crimes where the person who did it got away. We have another case where a guy with a violent criminal record cut off his ankle bracelet and just escaped. Okay, these are the crime rate can freak people out. So the question is, what is the Democratic policies against crime? Well, right now most people support Republican policies. Okay, another issue is inflation. Gas is over $3 a gallon where I'm at, and in most places it's even more than that. Okay, and why is that? Because we talked about earlier, the oil surpluses are going down, and we may have a deficit on oil. And then there's the voter fraud issue. Okay, Trump talks about voter fraud all the time. What they do is they use ballot harvesting, and they gain about a 1%, maybe 2% advantage in elections by using voter harvesting, by mailing out ballots. And then they hunt down everybody in the apartment building, and the ballots that come back may or may not be the person who was supposed to vote. That's what they do is they use ballot. But most people know that there's voter fraud. It was talked about during Al Gore's presidency, candidacy. John Kerry, there was a town in Ohio.
Rolf, hold that thought. We're going to be right back, and we're going to take your calls, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell, handle your calls for Rolf and me. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll
Hello.
Be right back after this message.
What a call.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we do have a first caller on the line from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Well, I think it's only fair to inform you and your audience before I say anything that on this one particular occasion, Mitch just called me. I didn't call in. He just called me.
What a treat. Paul, you see, you have a special standing with this show. Go ahead.
I don't know what to say after all of that. You know how I feel about Trump and our political situation and the reality of our implacable, determined enemy who has set his sights on the complete entire nation, and it's not the Democrats. The Democrats may be participating at the behest of our enemy, and many of them may indeed believe in what they're doing, but I think most of them are just sellouts for money. So I don't get the whole thing about Trump and the election in 2024. It makes no sense to me at all. I mean, if he won in 2020, how's he going to win in 2024? Won't that be three terms?
So, well, of course, he wasn't declared the winner and didn't have the opportunity to serve. So, no, that's not an issue.
Oh, okay, I see. So it's whoever declares him the winner. Is that how it works?
No, you got to be sworn in. You got to be sworn in as president, Paul. You got to actually serve a term. Which he did not. You know that. Come on.
I see.
Come on, well, come on. You're being silly. You have so many valuable things to say. Don't squander time with those that aren't.
Okay, so just for the fun,
the Electoral College didn't vote for Trump, unfortunately. That's how the president is selected, by the Electoral College.
Yeah, I know.
So Trump can run in 2024. And what I'd like to see him do is run in 2024 and then hand it off to DeSantis in 2028. That would be nice.
Really? Well,
Paul, give us your overview of the political landscape. Surely you can't believe the Democrats are going to survive all of the migration, the COVID, the Afghanistan fiasco, the scandals. It looks like Durham is even going to have a significant contribution here to their demise.
So I'm more interested in what was just said about DeSantis. So Rolf, this is the same DeSantis that went over to Israel, right, to sign a bill for the state of Florida, making any kind of criticism or condemnation of Israel and Jews to be unlawful. Is that right?
It's a law in Israel, or it's a law in Florida?
In Florida. He signed it in Israel.
That wouldn't be constitutional. The First Amendment.
I think
it wouldn't even be applicable. The bill wouldn't be applicable because you can't do a law like that. Isn't legal in the United States. So there's got to be more to it. I haven't even heard about this bill. So if it's true, then it wouldn't be constitutional. So something makes me wonder why you would even do it. Plus, someone had to pass the bill, right? The legislature of Florida voted for a bill like that.
You know, I would suggest you do a little looking into it. The bottom.
Well, I don't need to do it because it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
I was in mid sentence.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now that is not constitutional. The Constitution is out the window.
I know, but I'm talking about the right now. Even the Supreme Court would not uphold a law like that.
Oh, really?
No,
really?
It wouldn't. So it makes me wonder if there really is a law like that.
Question, and then we'll wait for any other calls.
What about all the other laws that DeSantis has passed?
I just said, let me ask a question. Why don't you be quiet for a second and let me ask it? Here's my question.
Okay.
Right, God damn it. You can't stop talking until I ask a question, can you?
Paul!
Right, yes, let me ask it. Right now on Renegade Tribune, Rolf, there's an article, okay, about the this so-called immigrant border crisis, migrant crisis, whatever you want to call it. And there's a picture of thousands and thousands of black Haitians in this underpass encampment, basically probably waiting to be released. If you were president, Rolf, what would you do? Would you deport each and every one of them ruthlessly, or would you give them some sort of hearing and vetting process and see if you might want to let some of them become American citizens?
I would just do what Trump did. And Trump didn't ruthlessly deport them all instantly. They were taken in and put into those camps. Remember the camps that were in there and facilities, and then the cases are adjudicated. Are these people refugees, or are these people just like illegal aliens? Are they drug smugglers, refugees?
These are the people from a hurricane, or what are they? Okay, I have no idea what they are. I see a picture.
And that's why you have to have a legal process to figure it out. If you don't have an idea, how would I have an idea?
I don't need to know who they are. I would drop them all in a volcano. That's what I would do.
So you would just drop them in a volcano?
Correct. That's the kind of man that we need, and Trump ain't that man, and neither are you. And anybody who thinks that we need thousands upon thousands.
Is that legal to drop them in a volcano? Where is the law that would allow that?
Trump should be put up against a wall and shot. Thanks for hearing it. I'm done. Take other callers.
All right, Paul. Yes, yes, yes.
Drop Paul, Mitchell.
But Paul was not on his game today. My major problem with him in the past has been he's rude and impolite and talks over other people, including me. And he was showing that here again today. Rolf, go ahead. Pick up anywhere you want.
Okay. The underlying argument that Trump has made, and remember, I'm going to go with what Trump says, not with there's other people that diverge from this. It's just it's about legal versus illegal immigration. Now, I'm a libertarian, so I'm actually, you know, I'm pro-immigration, and, you know, the United States has had a lot of immigration in the last 400 years, right? We've had immigration. But right now we have laws that say who's legal and who's not legal. So all the president is really supposed to do is follow the laws as they're written. So the simplest way to handle these cases is to follow the actual laws as they're written. And Trump, remember, Trump brought in over 1 million legal immigrants his first 3 years of his presidency, which are record high numbers of people brought in who are legal citizens. Okay, that's what he did. He's in favor of legal immigration, and another issue that complicates this is if someone said, well, we used to have immigrate, we're a nation of immigrants. Okay, we didn't have any a welfare state in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, and frankly, most of the 1900s. The people, if you came over to America, you couldn't just get a government benefit to keep you, to feed you and whatever, get you what you needed. You had to work for it. If you brought your family with, your whole family had to work for it. Today we have a welfare state, and a big problem with immigration, and it's a theoretical issue. Like if you're a libertarian, some libertarians would say, okay, look, I'm in favor of open borders if we get rid of the welfare state, okay, but we're never going to get rid of the welfare state if we have open borders and people come in and go on welfare. And then they vote for more welfare, because we know that there's an angle to immigration where the Democrats think that the new immigrants are all going to vote Democrat. Well, why is that? Okay, well, that's because there's a lot of people who are illegal immigrants, and then their families end up voting Democrat. That statistics show that. So there's other reasons. Because the Democrats are the ones who are supporting more of the welfare state. Now, Republicans aren't completely against the welfare state. So a libertarian, you know, a pure libertarian would say there's no welfare state. But a Republican being more practical and dealing, having to deal with voting and having to win elections, you can't just get rid of the welfare state. So we've got a big problem. So really the only way to solve the problem right now is to simply to limit immigration to legal immigrants and not illegal immigrants. That's the first thing. And the second thing is try to make the welfare state a little bit smaller and find the parts of it that we don't get rid of. And then maybe eventually it could be reduced. Of course, there's not very many historical records of welfare states being reduced unless the country simply collapses.
Mitchell asked a question about whether Mexico has a welfare system, so I looked it up. Mexico offers social welfare assistance designed to meet the needs of the Mexican population, including assistance for low-income populations, young people, the elderly, and people with disabilities. Mexico has been offering social welfare since 1999, so it's relatively recent. Despite the fact that Mexico offers welfare to its citizens through various programs, the poverty level in Mexico is currently at 46.2%. More than 10% of those living in poverty are living in extreme poverty, earning $1.25 a day or less. Let me add that I previously observed and reaffirmed if the United States had Mexico's immigration policy, we'd be in great shape. Because Mexico requires, number one, that anyone who immigrates to Mexico must show that they have something to contribute to the good of society, such as being a dentist, a construction worker, what have you. And number two, that they have the financial resources to support themselves and the members of the family that come with them. Just those two simple policies, Rolf, would transform the American immigration system into something that's remotely rational, as is the case for Mexico.
That sounds good. And remember, it's hard to have a rational discussion about immigration in America today because the news media never distinguishes between legal and illegal immigration. They just say, oh, people are against immigrants. Okay. And then they also claim that you're also a racist if you don't support illegal immigration. So you can't even really have a real conversation because basic facts that should be part of the conversation are completely ignored in the news. So if it's a public conversation, yeah, you can debate it on a blog somewhere, or we can talk about it now. But in a public discussion, if you're a member of Congress and you're trying to discuss immigration, everything will be distorted by the news. And then you end up with, you don't really have a conversation. Sort of like with the vaccine argument, when they never mention the natural immunity you get from people who catch the COVID virus and then recover, and then they have natural antibodies. That's completely ignored in all the discussions about vaccines. They don't even mention it. They just pretend like there is no such thing as getting antibodies from recovering from a disease, and they do this over and over. And why does the media do this? I guess that's one of the weird things is what is it? Well, I guess the news media seems to have transformed itself from something that's trying to inform you of the news to some sort of a political weapon to use. So whoever owns the news media seems to be more interested in using it to persuade you or get you to think something than to inform you. And then of course they're less interested in making money as well. I mean, CNN couldn't be making much money right now. So getting back to immigration, like I said, I don't think we're ever going to solve the immigration issue in this country when the news media is so distorting of just a basic discussion. I don't think there's any way to do it. So Trump has already gone that far. Trump says, look, Trump knows the news media is not fair and not accurate. So he just blows them by. He just calls it, he calls out their fake news, and he just does his policies, and he tries to bypass the media or use alternative news media sources. And the simplest way to do it is to follow the existing immigration laws as they are now. And now the courts, and remember, the courts are always intervening as well. The courts used to be pretty left-leaning, but now the courts are often ruling on the side of Republicans or in the side that Trump wants in these cases. There's lots of cases where the courts are ruling in favor of the Trump side of the argument.
Yes, 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 Rolf. You know, I don't see how the Democrats can even muster a candidate I think they're going to be slaughtered in 2022. I think the midterm elections. Now, I know you and I have differing views about the legitimacy of our elections, Rolf, but I'm telling you, if the votes are remotely accurate, the Democrats are going to lose their majority in the House, and they're going to lose a couple of Senate seats too, and they're going to be in a terrible situation because the Biden agenda, which already isn't going anywhere since Joe Manchin and Sinema have both declared against a $3.5 trillion bill, it seems to me they're up the creek without a paddle. Rolf, are you there? Mitchell, let me bring you in to add a few comments here while Rolf seems to be unavailable. Give me your thoughts about some of the issues we've been discussing here. Mitchell. Well, I'm going to presume that, in fact, I'm still on the air, which is unknown, actually, for a certainty, but I'm going to assume it. Turns out there's a whole lot about Miley committing treason here by telling military officials, actually in the actual military officers, not to take orders from Trump following the Capitol intrusion of January 6th. We have a host of other issues. Most Americans turn out to oppose vaccine mandates. I find that highly appropriate. 71.4% have said taking a COVID vaccine should be a matter of choice. That's very, very important. That's obviously going to work against the Democrats. Trafalgar, conducting the poll, revealed those who voted, Democrats and Republicans alike, both leaned against vaccine mandates. Of the numbers, 58.7 favored personal choice, while 87.5% of Republicans rejected vaccine requirements altogether. About 33. Mitchell, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Rolf. Oh, Mitchell lost his internet. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the NSA cut my call off.
That's right, Rolf.
Biden-controlled NSA.
I'm saying I think the Democrats are going to get wiped in 2022, and with Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema opposing the $3.5 trillion plan, I don't think their agenda is going anywhere. And if they lose just a few seats in the House, and they're going to lose many more than that, and a couple of Senate seats, I think they're going to be in dire straits. Your thoughts?
Well, I would have to agree. I think it's not the question of how much of do the Republicans win the House. It's by how much. The Senate is a little closer. I would say that I could easily see the Republicans picking up 50 seats in the House. They could pick up 50 seats. The record, by the way, is 110 seats in 1894. And this could be, but you know, we're a long way from the election. I mean, people are, you know, how sick of this stuff people are going to be by the time we get to the next election. Think about it. The 2022 election is going to be used as the springboard for Trump, because what Trump is doing is he's working with Kevin McCarthy to recruit candidates and get candidates to win and take back the House. We've got a candidate here in Wisconsin in the 3rd District, which is western Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin, named Derek Van Orden. Derek Van Orden is very likely going to win that seat from Ron Kind, who's one of these old Democrats who's been in there for 25 years. Ron Kind just announced he's not running again. Okay, so Trump is going to take credit for winning the House back. The other thing that Trump is doing is he's weeding out the anti-Trump people in the Republican Party. Remember that when Trump was president back in 2017, yeah, he had the Republican Congress, but they were people who were anti-Trump, a lot of them were. So he couldn't really get stuff through. The most famous of the anti-Trump people who are left are Liz Cheney, who's now going to be ousted because the top Republican challenger, everybody is coalesced around the Trump endorsement. So one candidate got the endorsement of Trump, and three of the other candidates all have now dropped out to get behind the candidate that Trump picked to beat Liz Cheney. So they're going to get rid of her. Adam Kinzinger is another really bad one. He's from Illinois, northern Illinois, and what I understand is his seat, congressional seat, is simply going to be eliminated because Illinois loses a seat in the next census. In the census, so I think he's just going to be eliminated. So he's probably not going to run. If he does, he won't win. And then the third anti-Trump person who's really well known is Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Senator Murkowski, and she's doing very, very poorly in the polling. I saw a poll. She only has 6% support among Republicans in Alaska. So there's no way that she can win a primary with those kinds of numbers. Another Republican, another one I've never heard of before, but apparently a Republican in Ohio who hates Trump, he just announced he's not running for re-election. So this is a seat where a different pro-Trump Republican will take over. So that's another example. And a couple other examples are Senator Pat Toomey hates Trump in Pennsylvania. He's not running for re-election. Now, Pennsylvania will be considered a target for Democrats. So the Senate seat in Pennsylvania will either be taken back by Democrats or a Republican who supports Trump will win. And Trump has made an endorsement to a guy named Parnell. He's a dynamic younger candidate. He's about 40 years old. Another candidate who doesn't like Trump is Senator Portman from Ohio. He's not running for re-election. There's several different pro-Trump Republicans maneuvering to replace Portman. One of them is J.D. Vance, the author of the Hillbilly Elegy. And there's another guy who's also a big name. And that seat is also going to lean Republican. Now, the Democrats are trying to win that seat as well because it's a state that used to be a battleground state, and the incumbent is retiring. So it's going to be a state that the Democrats are going to try to take. But I think the Republicans have an advantage there. So the good news is that the Republicans are looking to pick up seats all over the place, and they're getting rid of the bad Republicans who hate Trump. And like I said, there's a lot less of them now than there were in 2017. In 2018 midterms, 50 Republicans retired out of Congress. That's one of the reasons why the Democrats took Congress, because there were so many retired. So there's still some left to hate Trump. Remember Justin Amash, the libertarian guy that I used to really like? Well, then he started yelling and screaming about Trump. Well, he's been gone now, so he's gone. So that's the way it looks. The issues that are benefiting Republicans are the ones we mentioned earlier: crime, inflation, the border, voter fraud, and critical race theory, which we haven't mentioned. That's another big issue, is people are upset with the critical race theory, the 1619 Project, Common Core, the left-wing education. That's another issue that's really helping Republicans in a lot of different places, especially in Wisconsin. We're definitely seeing it. People who are not normally engaged in political issues have become engaged because they found out that the schools are teaching this crap,
wrong,
this woke crap. And you mentioned before one of the breaks about the high school.
Yeah.
I know the show's almost over. James Madison Memorial High School in Madison, Wisconsin, a school named after James Madison, they're actually trying to rename the school, and it looks like they've narrowed it down to about 10 names. They're going to take one of the names proposed is Ruth Bader Ginsburg High School.
Oh, God, Rob. Look, you did a great job. I can't thank you enough for coming on. You covered a huge race subject. Life.
Thank you very much.
Abbreviated. It may have been. And this, thanks in there. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect,
Triangle.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...